going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Can I just say the same thing about Chubby Checker as Cocker? How is it possible that Chubby Checker in 2025 is now getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They're looking at a lot of his recent work. Is that what they're judging?
They found his latest album, which I believe came out in January. Really tipped the scales. Unbelievable.
I mean, seriously. All right. Interesting story from Mara Klecker in the Tribune. Homeschooling took off during the pandemic. It's still rising. Yeah, I mean, no doubt across the country. When COVID took place, you saw many, many examples of homeschooling because, let's be honest, the kids with the traditional schools were home. So some parents said, why don't we just participate and jump into homeschooling? But think about this from the Trip story. The number of homeschool students in Minnesota since the 22-23 school year. So that's when COVID is winding down, has jumped 18%, more than 31,000 of the approximate 900,000 students are now homeschooled. Rob Prigge is quoted in the story. He's going to join us here in seconds on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He is the executive director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, a group first established in the 80s. Rob is quoted as saying this: the pandemic was a major catalyst for some of this exceptional growth in homeschooling. It used to be very, very much under the radar, but COVID changed that. Okay, thank you, Rob. Appreciate your time. What, along with just, hey, my kids are home, let me look at other options, but what has kept it going since we went back to normal protocols with kids now almost unanimously attending schools in person?
Hi, Dave. Or Chad, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is Rob Brady.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you cut out there for a second. I think the answer is in part the response to the pandemic brought a whole lot of attention and focus on the part of the parents. I expected when schools reopened, a little bit to your point, that we'd see a dip in that, and there was a little bit. But it did come right back, and I think that one of the things that happened there is a forced experimentation on the part of parents in home learning. If you talk to a lot of homeschool families about how they began, they almost always tell you a story something like this. I think I can do this. I think I want to do this. I think we need to do this. Let's try a year. Let's see how it goes. So they try a year and go, you know, that went well. I think we're going to keep it up. Let's try another year. That's such a common story. That's happened here. So for some of the families that were forced back on their own devices, they found we can do this. And I think we should. Let's try another year. And it's been very much like that classic homeschooling story. And then there were other families, obviously, and to your point, that went schools reopened. They went back into the public school system. It's working fine for their kids. So I think it really was a catalyst for a review of how we school our kids. What are the reasons for various flavors of how we school our kids? And it caused people to keep it up.
For
it has legs.
Rob, for somebody who's listening right now who has given consideration to this, but has not made the decision yet, why, in your opinion, should they try homeschooling?
You know, it's a great question, and the reasons are probably fourfold. One, for some families, and not just Christian families, it's a faith-based reason. There's almost no form of education, maybe chemistry and algebra are different, but that don't bring some value system into play. So faith-based is still a common sort of reason, but it's not by any means the sole reason, or even perhaps anymore the primary reason. Academic results and outcomes. Homeschooling's got a pretty good history, and there's a lot of data over about 40 years now where the outcomes are really very good in the homeschooling model. Learning environment, how you can structure a learning environment that's good for your family, good for your kids. There's just a lot more freedom to do that. And finally, you know, most school models that have larger classroom sizes have to somewhat teach to the mean. And if you've got really advanced kids or kids that have learning challenges, that's a harder thing to account for in a large classroom setting. But if you're, it's your family and it's a much smaller class size, if you will, you can tailor to your learning styles. You can tailor to the advanced kid. You can find support for the learning challenge. So it just gives you so much flexibility to structure for your kids what's best for them.
Rob, if a parent again is listening and saying, I don't know if I'm going to be strong enough in this area, and how will I know if I'm holding my child or children to the proper standard?
Great question. I love these questions. In Minnesota, one of the things that's required by law is annual standardized testing. And I remember back to the beginning for us in homeschooling, and we were wondering, how are we doing? Are we achieving these outcomes? Are the kids doing okay? Am I doing it right? You take that annual standardized test, and it's for you, the educator, like any testing really is, to go, how are you doing? They're doing fine in reading. They need a little help in science. You get feedback. What we got, and I almost didn't even understand this, our kids who were not Einsteins, normal kids, would achieve outcomes in those tests of like four grade levels up, meaning if a typical child, four grade levels up, took the same test your kid just did, that's what your kids are doing. That story, again, is pretty common. But to your point...
Okay, now wait a second. Can I just step in?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying the typical homeschool student is testing four grades above where they would be if they were in typical mainstream school?
Let me say it again. It's a little different than I think I heard you just say it. If, like, let's say I'm doing second grade, and I just get the results back, a sixth grader, a typical sixth grader, taking that second grader test, in our experience, was achieving the same outcomes. So it's not that our kid had mastered, you know, the education objectives of the next four grades, but that their achievement on that second grade test is equivalent, quote unquote. That was our experience, and it's not an uncommon, it's an anecdotal story, but I heard it a lot, of kids grade levels ahead in the normal system taking the same test. So that gave us confidence, we're doing okay. Again, they're not Einstein, but they're doing okay.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Last thing, and I'm gonna get the audience into it. The same parent is listening, saying, and he or she is listening, and they're intrigued, but they worry about the interaction, which is so essential to schooling, with just in the class or in the hallways or the extracurricular activities. And they feel like, when I think about school, this is the parent thinking back to 10, 20, 30 years ago, they have as many memories about that as they do the algebra class, and they're worried their daughter or son is going to miss out on that. What do you say to this parent?
That's a question that a lot of us faced early on. And frankly, a lot of us faced it from our own families, from grandparents or others that kind of understood the public school system and what you just said. Harvard did a study on this actual question quite a few years ago now, and they defined socialization. And they said, based on their definition, let's look at public school kids, private school kids, homeschool kids, and see how they do based on their definition. And I'll tell you what their definition was in a second. Out of that study, they said homeschool kids are better socialized back when they did that study. Okay, how is that possible? Well, what they said was the typical homeschool model, and this has only become more so over time. In 2025, it's even more so. Instead of being quote unquote socialized in only your age group, if you will, like I'm 13, I know how to talk to 13-year-olds. Like I know their language. I get it. Well, a homeschool can do that and age up and age down, deal with adults, deal with grandparents, a lot of different adults. So if you saw someone that's been homeschooled for a while and they came up to you, they would look you in the eye, reach out, shake your hand, introduce themselves and have a conversation. And you'd be like, that's different. But it shouldn't be. So co-ops and support groups, there are so many structures now that allow you to achieve what you're talking about. There's the homeschool is what we call it, but it is literally not just at home anymore. It's not just at home anymore.
Rob, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, sir.
Yep.
Rob Prigge, Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, group established in the 80s. We're talking homeschooling. Tell me, if you're a part of it, if you haven't been a part of it, or if you just have an opinion, what you love or what gives you pause about the concept of homeschooling. Let's go. Text and call. Love phone calls, as always. 651-461-9226.